Hello, Perth Tribe. Hopefully I'm live. So finally, tonight we get a chance to talk to somebody very special who was kind enough to join us and bridge these gaps of time and space. Boysen Hodgson, hope I'm pronouncing that right. And I'm just going to see if I can add. Yeah, okay. We've got one viewer. let's just see. Here we go. Yep. Go. Hello, hopefully I'm just adding. Here we go. Adding in anticipation, waiting for Boysen Hodgson to join us. And there you are. Yay.
And there I am. I had to get my phone steady back in the thing. Good morning.
Awesome.
And good evening.
Good morning to you.
It's
evening, 9 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so for those people who don't know you, so your name is Boysen Hodgson. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, very well. Yes.
Awesome. So I actually don't know much about Mankind Project, and I think that's awesome because that's probably where a lot of people sit at the moment from Perth Tribe. That's an assumption, but, you know, I'm assuming.
And probably a good assumption.
But I felt something very, very deep when I watched that what's it called? Follow This episode. And there was a scene where people, men, stand in a group and they are allowed to be with their brothers and feel those feelings and process those feelings. And those feelings that came up were so raw that I actually had to pause and cry. It was so intense, and I could actually really empathize with it. I was like, wow, it was so strong. So I got curious, and I contacted you instantly, and I said, wow, thank you so much for doing such an amazing work. You know, the world needs this now. And I just wanted to start off with asking you, what is Mankind Project, and why does it exist?
Why does it exist? So we exist because we think that the world could use more emotionally mature, compassionate, powerful, purpose-driven men out there working together, out there living mission, out there healing the really deep wounds in our society, many of which have been caused unconsciously or consciously by men for the last thousands of years. So we are an organization that's been around. The Mankind Project is not completely nonprofit. We are in 12 regions around the world, including Australia. I think we have 4 active centers in Australia. And we do really 3 things. We run very intensive weekend training programs for men called the New Warrior Training Adventure. We host men's groups. So that's kind of what you get an insight into by watching the Follow This episode, is that you're inside of a Mankind Project men's group and kind of seeing what we do in together in men's group. And then we support men living missions of service out there in the world. So supporting men to take this passion that they have, take the skills and tools that they learn with their brothers and take that out into the world to make change, to help other people So that's kind of where we are. And we got started 1984, 1985. So we've been around for quite some time. About 65,000 men have participated in our flagship program. And at any given time right now, we have somewhere around 10,000 men active in the organization every week, sitting in circles like the one that you may have seen on the Follow This show. That's a basic.
And how did you, so what's your story behind it? What propelled you to, you know, how did you come across Mankind Project, and what's your background in this sort of work?
I grew up, is my audio okay? Am I a little delayed on your side, or is it all right?
I hear you. It's just perfect.
Good. Okay, great. It seems like there may be a little delay. I got involved in the organization in 2004 is when I did the weekend training program, but there's actually a history in my family before that. I grew up surrounded by boys and men. I have 5 brothers who I grew up with. I have 6 brothers total. No sisters. And then I had a dad, and then I had a stepdad, and then I didn't have that stepdad, and then I had a different stepdad. And like, so I was surrounded by boys and men, and yet grew up feeling isolated and distrustful of men. And I think that's common for a lot of us out there. It's common for a lot of guys, you know, even if we're kind of in the room with men, we still feel alone. We still feel like there's not a connection. And several of the men in my family, starting with my younger brother, Jay was kind of the lead off. Jay may have been 19 years old or something and got invited to do this weekend training. And he went off and did it. And within the next 2 years, almost every other male member of my family did it, except me. I was the guy who said, no, I want no part of that. I don't want to get involved with that. I've got my books. You know, you can see I've got all of my wonderful self-help books. I've got my meditation and, you know, reading The Peaceful Warrior. I'm reading Rinpoche and reading all the good stuff, right? Reading all the good books. So I was existing basically in my head, terrified of getting out of my head, terrified of being in real connection, in real community, terrified of showing the shame that I was carrying around, showing all that hidden stuff that I was carrying around in my life. So it took me almost 8 years of just going through life. And at the end of that period of time, and as the result of a breakup, the end of a relationship that I was in for a long time, it finally got to the point where I was saying, okay, what have I been doing? What am I doing? What am I doing now? What do I want for my life? And I was starting to get into a new relationship with a woman who's now my wife, and thinking to myself, I don't want to repeat everything that I've done. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to go through that pain again. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to keep being that guy. And then, of course, the universe said, oh, here you go. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, a man that I knew in a totally other context, a chiropractor, takes me out into the hallway after a chiropractic session, and he says, boys, and I can see that you're going through a whole lot of stuff. Your body is processing. You're letting go of all this stuff. There's all this energy flowing through you. Have you ever heard of a thing called the New Warrior Training Adventure? And I was like, ah, and I swore at him and laughed and then signed up for the training within the next couple of weeks. And that was it. So that was, bless you, that was 14 years ago. And I've been involved ever since, and sitting in a men's group, almost constantly sitting in a men's group. I've been in 3 different men's groups since that time. And now, just the last 7 years working for the Mankind Project USA in a capacity as communications and doing this stuff and writing.
Awesome. So yeah, you are an author and a speaker and a communications director for the Mankind Project in the USA. I want to ask you about a couple of things you mentioned. You mentioned being surrounded by these men yet feeling isolated, and you also mentioned the word shame. I wanted to ask you, what is it like, generally speaking, to be a man today? There is so much going on. We have this history of suppressing feelings and asking men to be some sort of archetype of an old vision of what a man should be.
Yeah.
And we have this whole situation where a lot of men feel like they're being blamed and shamed, whether they've done something wrong or not. There is a shift in power. There is a confusion on the sister's side as well. You know, what exactly do women want? $1 million question. So again, I just want to go back to the men.
Yeah.
What is it like to be a man today? Again, generally speaking, in terms of that isolation and confusion and shame and dealing with what, you know, what comes up within for a person.
Thank you. Well, I certainly can't speak for all men. First, I'll say that. And I can speak for myself. And generally speaking, I can kind of speak for guys who have experienced similar things. But here's kind of what I see. What I experienced was, in a very Western culture in the United States, growing up as I did, I experienced a world where from early boyhood, there were certain things that I was told and shown, mostly modeled, mostly not told, mostly just shown. And I think this is true for a lot of us. You know, nobody comes to you when you're a little kid and says, here's what it means to grow into a good man. Here's what it means. Here's some patterns and rules, or, you know, here's some good things that you can do in your interactions with women and other men. Here's some good values that you can hold on to. I didn't get that. I think a lot of guys don't get that. So we take in whatever is around us. And I learned from a young age that it was okay to show some things. It was okay to feel some things. It was okay to say some things. And it was really not okay to do others. And my background may be different than yours, man, who I'm speaking to out there. But I was taught and shown that it was okay to be aggressive, but it was not okay to be sensitive. It was okay to dominate, but it was not okay to, it wasn't okay to just go along. Like, I was shown by my brothers, by my dad, that I needed to be the first voice in the conversation, the dominant voice in the conversation. I needed to be charismatic and out there so that I could keep attention of people. I needed to be the good kid all the time. Like, there was all of these kind of unspoken rules and boundaries around what it meant to be a man. This is how men are supposed to be. Disrespect of women, treating women as objects, sexual objects especially, conquest. Conquest was something that I was taught as a boy. And don't show emotion. By the time, you know, I was in my teens, do not show emotion to other boys, because if you show emotion to other boys, they are going to knock you down. Like, that's what your world's going to look like. Take all of that experience of childhood and early manhood and move it into the 20s. And what we end up with is a culture of men who very quietly are terrified of other men. Terrified that they're going to be seen. Terrified that all of that stuff that they've packed away, what we talk about in the Mankind Project, is shadow, all the things that we hide, repress, and deny from ourselves and those around us. So we have men walking around dragging this huge sack of shadow, dragging this huge sack of things that they are told and shown to never share, to hide, and spending so much energy on that that they're basically walking zombies. We're zombies, a lot of us. And I think that that's what it's like to be a man for a lot of men, is to feel isolated, is to feel like you have to keep things hidden, is to feel like you have to tough it up. When the reality is, we all feel vulnerability. We all feel fear. We all share this rich emotional spectrum that is our human right, human birthright, but we don't share it with each other. So that's really what MKP, the Mankind Project, is out to break down those barriers and create spaces for men to do that emotional risk-taking so that we can learn together, so that we can create like real bonded community with one another. That was a long answer to what it's like to be a man.
Yeah, it's a good answer. And so obviously there are, it sounds to me it's very, very scary and confusing and conflicting growing up as a man in the Western world. I'm sure we could maybe even be naughty and generalize that is the culture across the world, really.
Yeah.
So those were the expectations, and still are the expectations of young men, and that's what they are growing up with.
Yeah.
And now there is a shift, obviously, with groups like yours. There is a shift happening. And again, before we go into my question, which is actually, where is this shift going? Where are we taking masculinity?
Nice, good.
How are we defining masculinity? I also want to mention something really, really important that, according to what I've been reading, the causing reason of death for men between 45 and 60 in the Western world is actually suicide. Yeah, so that's a really big problem, and it's a lonely place to be, with no connection, no real impact, isolated, no real purpose, is deep wounding that the men carry. And also with all that programming, some of those men will inflict pain on other people around them, even their families, right?
Yes.
And the women they love. And then you have to live with that shame and guilt. And so we have that in the past and partially in the, you know, present moment. So my question is, where are we going? What's happening? I'm noticing there is a shift, and there is more men that I feel super comfortable sitting in the presence of, sharing myself, being seen. I feel safe with these men. It feels really beautiful for me to witness these men. So back to my question again, redefining masculinity for men, society, and people around men, and healing of the masculine so they can actually redefine themselves. So as I'm saying all these things, what is coming up for you? I'll just say,
there is so much in there. Yeah. Our kind of, I bookmark the idea of initiation also as a process necessary, as something that we think is really necessary to this change. Yeah, society, our culture and our society for hundreds and hundreds of years gave women, here's your sheet. Here's what you're supposed to do. Here's what you're supposed to fit into. Here are the expectations that society has for you, and go do that. And it was largely, except with, you know, small percentages of people, it worked. Right? Women are supposed to do this. Women did that. Men are supposed to do and be this. Men did that. Society has shifted so much the way that we work has shifted so much. The way that, you know, travel, the availability of information, the availability of how we can connect to each other, all of the things that we used to assume were the way it is, as determined by God or biology or, you know, whatever it is. A lot of those things have, we've pulled them apart. We said, wow, it's not, maybe it's not really like that. And then changes in culture, changes in economics and what's available for work. And, you know, it used to be that there was plenty of labor work available for every man that wanted it, right? Men used, we used our bodies, we used up our bodies, we still use up our bodies in, you know, keeping society moving forward. Well, it's a totally different culture now. We are in an information age. We are in a communication and relationship age. And all of the things, the skills that we were told were the skills we would need to be a man, like no longer apply. So yes, that statistic that you brought in about especially white guys, 45 to 60 years old, leading cause of death being suicide. And that is, as you said, what's my purpose now? If I'm not a protector in the way that I was or supposed to be, if I'm not a provider in the way that I was or I was supposed to be, if my kind of political and power status is becoming, the political and power status is becoming equalized between men and women, it, you know, it's still not, but it, getting there, thank goodness, that we're getting to, you know, more parity in terms of how men and women are seen in the culture. What's my role? What am I supposed to do? And that has an incredible emotional impact on men. And then now what? Now what do I do with all of this emotion that I now have bottled up? So you end up with these epidemics of either internalized violence, suicide, or externalized violence that shows up in increasing domestic violence, in addiction, in, you know, all of these really negative behaviors that men get stuck into because they don't know what else to do with. And that does not negate the impact. So here's where I think we're headed. Here's where I think we're going with masculinity. And we have an idea in the Mankind Project that we talk a lot about is integration. Like our men's groups are called integration groups. So integrating my masculine in the healthiest form and my feminine in its healthiest form as a starting point. Integrating more tools so that I am more capable of living in the world as it is today. Integrating paradoxes like the paradox of male privilege and the experience that many men feel of powerlessness. Like, even though I have a lot of privilege in the culture, doors open to me that don't open to other people because of things that I was born with. You know, my privilege is real. It gets me in to things. And that also doesn't change the fact that I sometimes feel completely powerless and helpless. Paradox. So giving men tools to be able to live with the complexity of life as it is now, to hold on to the beautiful things that are associated with traditional, quote unquote, traditional masculinity. Like that strength, that idea of being a healthy warrior, of being a peaceful warrior, of having that healthy aggressiveness and power, that's beautiful. Let's hold on to that. We need that in the world. And let's work on the places where that hurts other people, where the impact of that has been negative to ourselves, to our families, the people that we love, and to the whole planet. But we still need strong men, right? And we need men who are vulnerable, available, emotional, purposeful. Like, so this idea of integrating all the best of what has gotten us to this place in the world, which is really, on its face, a good place. It's a less violent world than it's ever been. There is more equality in the world than there has ever been. And there's lots of work to be done, and we need a different kind of human being, human animals, to be doing that work.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way forward. So I just wanted to, I listened to some of your interviews, and you talked also a little bit about rite of passage and community-based systems versus this market system where everything is transactional.
Yeah.
It doesn't have inner value and that old-fashioned honor in you know, the way we can honor each other and our vulnerability and things that do come up. Everything is, like you said, transactional. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that with our viewers, please?
Yeah, I think...
And in how it relates to men and they, you know, the life as it is for them now.
Yes, thank you. Throughout history, we as cultures and microcultures and tribes have had to rely on one another for our most basic existence. And in indigenous tribes all over the globe of any sort, one of the ways that tribal people helped to ensure their survival was by making sure that they initiated the young people into the tribe, that there was a clear line between, okay, you have been a child, the tribe has been willing to take care of you, to care for you and hold you. Now we're getting to a place, and this is for men and for women, young men and young women. Now we've gotten to a place where it's time for you to become a full member of the tribe. That has some privileges, and that has responsibilities. And in order to get you to see your place in the tribe, young boys and young women were initiated into the tribe. And those initiations have looked all kinds of ways, and they have different characteristics, but there are some similar things that have happened that boys had to be brought through a process that in some way told them and showed them that the tribe could be a painful place to be, that the world was a painful place to be. Boys were often scarred by their initiatory process, cut, literally cut, or hurt, or, you know, whatever, any number of different things. And shown and taught that they would now be in service to something bigger than themselves. When you come out the other side of that initiatory process as a young man, you are now a full member of the tribe with the responsibilities that goes along with that and with the privileges that you can get from that. Young women, there's a different process because of the biological reality of womanhood, of childbearing, of menstruation. There is a different kind of rite of passage associated with that. And they also, you know, wow, now you are literally a part of the tribe because you are the only place that the tribe can continue. Women giving birth is the only way that we survive as a species. So there's that integration. Fast forward to where we are now, we live in a capitalist, market-driven, transactional society where I don't have to rely on anybody to get what I need as long as I have the means of transaction. And for a lot of us, you know, we can go through our lives simply like giving money and getting goods as a way of surviving. But what is becoming more and more painful and obvious as time goes on is that we've lost something in that transaction. not knowing my neighbors has an impact on my life. Not recognizing that I am part interdependent with the people around me means that I take so much for granted. That's, you know, the ecological destruction that comes from the idea that I can just throw it away and it's gone. Living in a tribe, there was no away. Away was outside your door. We live in a place now where we have to reclaim that interdependence, where we have to reclaim that sense of being initiated into something, to recognize my place in something bigger than me and realize the responsibilities of that. And I think that what the Mankind Project does, I'm going to take a breath first. Am I on track? Am I talking about what I want to be talking about?
It all makes sense, and I'm enjoying. So you're on track.
Good.
Yes, you are. But lost. You are talking about this community-based system, the history, and the market system, and the rite of passage, the way it used to be, and the lack of need for it now, and what the Mankind Project is offering to the modern man. You were absolutely on track.
Good. Good. So we've armored ourselves up in this market system, in this transactional society, so that even our, you know, for many guys, even relationship to a partner is still transactional. So I give you this, you give me that. I give you this, you give me that. Rather than we are intimately connected and reliant upon each other. We need each other in order to survive. And now take that from, you know, my partnership with my wife and my kids into one step bigger. I need my neighbors. If shit hits the fan, I need my neighbors to survive. And if I have no relationship with my neighbors beyond transaction, where does that leave me in time of crisis? Go a step beyond that to our cities, our larger communities, our society as a whole, the recognition that we actually need each other to survive in this difficult time is becoming more and more apparent. I think it lives in us. I think we understand it, men and women. I think in our bodies, we understand that we need something different. We need something more than what society is telling us is what's good these days, right? What we see on the screen, what we get fed as the value. Here's what's valuable. Buy this lotion, buy this watch, buy this car, get this house, and you'll be happy. We know in our bodies that that's bullshit. And more of us are waking up to it, is what I believe. And so the Mankind Project provides a space for guys to strip away all of that external stuff and get back to who am I as a man? What do I want? What's been getting in the way of me creating that? And how am I going to give my gift? When I can get in touch with that deep part of me that knows I have something beautiful to give to the world, how will I share it? In community. And that's what we help men get to. So to strip off that armor, to put down the mask that we've been showing the world, and to step forward into a circle, into a community where we can be to give the gift that we're here to give. And that's a new way of being for a lot of men. And it creates the opportunity for us to then interact with everyone we meet in a way that's new, in a way that's different. And so now, bring us up to like where we are right now, right? We live in the age of Me Too. We live in an age of populism resurgence, kind of right nationalist xenophobic populism, which is reflexive kind of looking back, I want to get back to what felt safe. I want to get back to what felt certain, where I had certainty about my role. No, it's gone. Grieve it. Grieve what's been and is now gone. Now, where we're looking forward, we have to create new kinds of structures for our society. We need men who are fully responsible and accountable for the way that they interact with women in the world and create the kind of relationships that we want. We need men who take responsibility for the culture of manhood. So I am responsible for my part in creating healthy masculinity and healthy relationships around me. And I get to use my gifts to help create that. To me, that's exciting and scary. So we're at, you know, it is a scary place to be. It's a scary time to be. But what's been working for us for a long time may still feel like it's working for you. It's going to hit a point where it's not. And then what? So then, you know, where I see is scrolling through the Perth Tribe page and seeing all the kinds of events that you guys are offering. Like, here we are. What do people need? Meditation, body practices, somatic experience, stepping more fully into emotion, stepping more fully into the basics. You know, I saw some sound healing stuff on the Perth Tribe page, right? So let's go back and integrate in a beautiful way all of those things that bring us back in connection with one another, back in connection with our bodies, back in connection with our emotions, so that we can have the kind of community and culture that we want.
That's beautiful, and it would be a beautiful point to finish, but I still want to ask one more thing that I have come across talking to some men with the Me Too movement.
Good.
You know,
yeah.
there is a fear. Like when I shared my Me Too, and luckily for me, you know, it's nothing horribly extreme, but still boundaries were crossed and I was hit and stuff happened, you know, but it can be worse when you hear other stories. Mine is like nothing, right? But it's not really, it's not. So when I shared my story and read all the other stories, I never experienced them as women blaming men. I did not see women stepping in and saying, you men, right. You know, this is, we've had enough of you. Now you watch out because we are rising to, you know, it wasn't like that. To me, it felt, and it wasn't even, some people said it felt like, you know, breathing into this victimhood, which to me didn't feel like it. I'm not a victim of what happened in the past. I'm just saying, this is what happened. And I have a daughter and I'd like her to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And I still don't feel safe. Every time I park my car, I'm afraid, and I look, I live in that fear, mm-hmm. and to me, the fear is normal, mm-hmm. you know? It was a big surprise for my husband when he actually didn't know that this is how us women work, you
That's
know?
Key.
Constantly mm-hmm. on guard. Yeah. So what I wanted to say is with this Me Too movement, many men felt that they were being blamed, and there was a women were there to take this power, and they were not going to be better than men. They were also going to misuse this power and attack maybe even innocent men just so they can. So there is this, you know, and I'm not saying the majority of men feel this way, but this is also present. Mm-hmm. And here you are talking about accountability and taking responsibility for creating beautiful relationships within your community and with people that you come across. And to me, that sounds so beautiful, empowering, promising, and my heart is so happy, you know, hearing these words. And that's all we really want and hope for, the better world. So I'm not really sure. This is not really a question unless you feel called to say something. Yeah, there is. Mm. That's present for a lot of men. And that's it. How do you deal with your, in your gathering with Mankind Project? Does this come up with men? Do they feel blamed? Do they feel carrying this burden? I haven't done anything wrong, but I, you know, I'm, you know, just feel blamed and shamed for what have I done? And does it obviously would be adding to that confusion that we talked about to start off with. And what do we do with that? How do we help men with?
Beautiful. Wow, there's a lot in there. And the first thing I want to say is thank you for sharing your story. And you don't have to share it again right now. But my understanding, and here's what I think is so powerful about the Me Too movement, and someone else said this. I was hearing a panel discussion just a couple of days ago, and I think it was a man named Wade Davis, who is an ex-NFL player, African-American man. And he was talking about the fact that the civil rights movement wasn't about Black people. The civil rights movement in the United States was about getting white people to wake up and get aware. The suffrage movement in the United States, when women moved to get the vote, wasn't about women. It was about waking men up to recognize what it was like to be a woman who couldn't vote. The Me Too movement is not about women claiming a status of victimhood or power over anyone else. It's an invitation for men to wake up to what women experience in the world, to what it's really like for women. And I believe that if men can get humble enough and grounded enough in themselves to be able to go through the world asking the question, what is it like to be you? And listen to that response, will motivate, and it is motivating the most beautiful changes that we could possibly see in the world. Men do get defensive about this. I have gotten defensive about this, but it's my job to handle my defensiveness. And for me, in the Mankind Project, you know, there's a big difference between reacting to what's happening and responding to what's happening. And I think that the core underneath that is slow down, man. In that defensiveness, slow down. Step back into, okay, do I have enough of a sense of myself that I can simply remain grounded in this and hear what's coming? Can I listen to what's coming? Secrets will out themselves. That is the nature of reality. Things don't stay secret. We're in a time when massive, huge, earth-shattering things that have been hidden, repressed, and denied by our culture through Me Too are being revealed and being brought out into the light. That is not zero sum. That, because men are taking hits on this, does not mean that women are automatically going up. If we handle this with slow, practiced responsibility and be able to respond to what's happening, everyone's going up here. This opportunity for us is going to raise us all up into healthier relationships, into a more equal kind of world. And what I love and I'm so excited about is I see men out there and I see women out there saying, okay, with all of this, even Tarana Burke, who founded hashtag, you know, Me Too, Tarana Burke in the United States, African-American woman from more than 10 years ago started using this. And where she is now, what she's talking about now is, see it? Now we see the trauma. Now we see all the trauma that's in our society. Now we have the opportunity to heal it together. Mm. men and women together. And the men and women out there that I see, the women that I see honoring the experience of men, the reality of what it's like to be a man, and also the Me Too stories from men, I know so many men who have their own stories of sexual assault and sexual abuse and abuse at the hands of men out there. And I know men who have stories of abuse and sexual trauma at the hands of women out there. So I hear those stories too. And I see men and women stepping up to say, yes, that's true. That is reality. And there's more for us to step into here. This doesn't diminish us as a society. This doesn't diminish men. This gives us an opportunity to step into something new. So for me, that's what I'm seeing, and that's what I want. And I feel passionate about
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was so big. I can feel and you're doing a great job. Thank you so much again, now in person like this, for the amazing work that you're doing. This world needs healing. We need healing, and we need this amazing growth that is happening. And we need to hold space for one another as we are rising into a new way of being, relating to ourselves, to one another, to this planet, to life itself. And I thank you for your work, and thank you so much for sharing this moment with us here in WA, Western Australia, Perth. And just before we finish, if you could please later put something down in the comments, some of the links for men who might want to get in touch with Mankind Project.
I will.
Here in Australia, that much appreciated.
Yes, I definitely will. And mankindproject.org is the international website. I'll put links to the other websites down below. Thank you for seeing us, and thank you for inviting me. I'm very, very grateful.
Thank you so much for sharing. Have a lovely night.
You as well. Have a good night.
Yes. All the best, boys. Bye. Bye.